vote. Signify your presence. All members have voted. Secretary, close roll.
Roll shows 20 senators present this morning.
Will you stand for the invocation?
Let us pray. Dear God above, today, June the 15th, marks the opening of the sport salmon fishing here in this area. And we pray that the catch is good, the harvest is bountiful. But we especially give thanks to all our fishermen in Alaska this season. Halibut season opens this Friday. Wish them good luck and the wind be to their back. Amen.
Senator Elias is taking the floor.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread in the journal.
You have the floor, Senator.
As I just wanted, I was going to do the same thing, and I want to tell Danny that I was out there last night for about 8 hours and obviously could have used his prayer. Thank you.
See you, fisherman. Secretary certifies correctness of the Daily Journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 149th legislative day.
Floor leader.
Move the journal for the 149th legislative day be approved as certified.
Without objection. So ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Senator Strzelczewski.
Mr. President, I'm very pleased to introduce some constituents from back home. These people have gone south for their vacation, but it's south to southeast, and I understand they've really been having a good time. In the far gallery, I'd like to introduce the Udick family, Ned and his wife, Jo, and daughter Nina and son Eric.
Messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
There are messages from the House?
Messages of June 14. The House passed the following and returned. Senate Bill number 53, authorizing municipalities to exempt business inventories from taxation, and the House adopted the Senate letter of intent. Senate Bill number 182, relating to elevator safety standards, committee substitute for Senate Bill number 124, rules amending the Alaska Agricultural Loan Act. These have been sent to enrolling. The House passed Senate Bill number 54, relating to the contents of the election pamphlet with the following amendment. Senate Bill number 54, amended House, and it is returned for consideration.
Senator Ray.
President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 54, amended.
Question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 54? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas.
We have concurred in the amendments. The bill is adopted. You may proceed.
June 14. The House failed to concur with the Senate amendments to CS House Bill 251 Hess, namely Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 251, Rules Amended Senate, State Support for Education, and respectfully request the Senate to recede from its amendments. In the event the Senate fails to recede, the Speaker appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with the like committee from the Senate to consider the bills. Representative Tischer, Chairman, Representatives Ward and Larson.
Senator Rain.
Move that the Senate recede from its amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 251 rules and ask the body to vote no.
Question is, shall the Senate recede from its amendments to House Bill 251? You may proceed to vote. If all members voted, does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close roll.
Roll shows 20 nays.
The Senate has failed to recede. The conference committee appointed will be Senator Joseph, Chairman Senator Ferguson, Senator Paul Fisher. You may proceed. Further messages.
The House passed the following and transmitted for consideration. CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 10, Transportation, by the Transportation Committee, relating to access to Whittier, Alaska.
Transportation and Finance.
CS for House Bill Number 376, Resources amended by the Resources Committee, an act amending the Limited Entry Act, providing for landing permits and providing for an effective date.
What is the number?
House Bill Number 376.
Resources, perhaps Finance Resources this time.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 385, Loans by the House Special Committee on State Loans, an act relating to the issuance of tax-exempt state-guaranteed revenue bonds by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to finance mortgages from qualifying veterans under AS 1856 and providing for an effective date.
Legislation that originally was introduced by the administration. I'm going to give it to Finance at this late date. If Commerce wishes it, please let me know tomorrow. Goes to Finance Committee.
Those are the messages from the House.
Are there communications?
There are no communications.
Are there reports of standing committees?
Transportation considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 30, traffic control measures on the Glen and Palmer Wasilla Highways and Evergreen Street in the Matanuska-Sioux Sittner Borough, and recommends it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute with a new title. Senator Moss, Chairman, and Senators Fakes, Gilman, and Crotula signed do pass. SCR 30 has a further referral to Finance. The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 219, Processing of Permits by State Agencies, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title. Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, and Senator Ziegler signed do pass. Senators Vic Fisher, Stojalewski, Paul Fisher, and Mulcahy signed no recommendation. SB 219 has a further referral to Finance. Labor and Commerce considered Senate Bill Number 281, Energy Development and Conservation Functions of the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, and recommends be replaced with a committee substitute with a new fiscal note and do pass. Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, and Senator Sackett signed do pass. Senator Rohde signed no recommendation. Senate Bill 281 has a further referral to Finance. Resources considered House Concurrent Resolution Number 31, Protection and Preservation of the Kenai River, and recommends that it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, concurring, Senators Sturgelewski, Vic Fisher, Ziegler, Mulcahy, and Paul Fisher. House Concurrent Resolution 31 has no further referral.
To the Rules Committee.
Finance considered CS for SS for House Joint Resolution Number 7, Judiciary, proposing amendments to the Constitution of Alaska relating to the election of the Attorney General, and recommends do not pass. Senator Bennett, co-chairman, signed no recommendation. Signing do not pass were Senators Vic Fisher, Josephson, Mulcahy, Ferguson, Fakes. Senator Sackett signed do not pass. House Joint Resolution 7 has no further referral. It did have one due pass of the Judiciary Committee.
The Rules Committee.
Labor and Commerce considered House Bill Number 126 amended, limiting the liability of aircraft owners or operators for personal injury or death to guest passengers, and recommends it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute. Senator Eliason, Chairman, and Senators Mulcahy and Pettyjohn signed due pass. Senators Rohde. Senator Rohde signed no recommendation. House Bill 126 amended has a further referral to Judiciary. The Resources Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 130, Finance amended, relating to homesteads, and recommends it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute. Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, and Senators Ziegler and Paul Fisher signed do pass. Senators Vic Fisher, Stojalewski, and Mulcahy signed no recommendation. House Bill 130 has a further referral to Judiciary. Labor and Commerce considered CS for House Bill Number 210, Finance amended, payment for purchases by the state, and recommends it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Eliason, Chairman, concurring, Senators Mulcahy and Pettyjohn. House Bill 210 has a further referral to Finance. Transportation considered House Bill Number 321, Special Appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for Improvements and Expansion of the Terminal at the Anchorage International Airport. Senator Moss, Chairman, and Senators Fahrenkamp, Fakes, and Gilman signed do pass. Senator Curtula signed do pass, but adding review rates and income projections. House Bill 321 has a further referral to finance. Transportation considered. House Bill number 322, increasing the bond authorization for international airport revenue bonds to $62,825,000 and recommends do pass. Signed Senator Moss, Chairman, concurring Senators Farenkamp, Bakes, Curtula, and Gilman. House Bill 322 has a further referral to finance. The Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill number 375, Finn amended, access to certain criminal justice information, and recommends be replaced, and recommends that the Judiciary Senate Committee substitute be adopted. Senator Ferguson signed do pass. Senator Bennett, co-chairman, and Senators Josephson, Vic Fisher, Fakes, Sackett, and Mulcahy signed no recommendation. Senator Fakes also signed need more information. House Bill 375 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered the following and recommend that they be calendared on June 15. Senate Bill number 269, sale of royalty oil for the state of Alaska to Chevron USA. Senator Ray also signed calendar both to Sorrow and Chevron at the same time or not at all. Senate Bill 199, mortgage assistance for members of the Alaska delegation to the United States Congress. CS for SS House Bill 105, Finn, appropriation for the operating and capital expenses of state government. The committee recommends that the Finance Committee Senate Committee substitute be adopted. Senator Ray signed calendar without recommendation. Senator Kelly signed calendar without recommendation. CS House Bill 322, Finn, professional licensing and to the regulation of the practice of medicine and the state medical board, and recommends that the HES Committee substitute be adopted. Senate Bill number 281, energy development and conservation functions of the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, and recommends the LNC committee substitute be adopted. These do appear on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports.
Are there requests special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
This resolution for introduction.
Senate Joint Resolution number 28 by Senators Rohde, Curtula, and Bennett, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the right of a person to keep and bear arms.
State Affairs Judiciary.
That is the only new resolution.
This bill for introduction.
Senate Bill number 315 by Senator Fakes, an act relating to road improvement districts.
Transportation finance.
That was the only new bill.
I think there's been...
President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate recess until the call of the chair for purposes of the leadership caucus.
We're in recess. Down to the daily calendar, and the first item on the daily calendar is Senate Bill 269. The Secretary will read the bill in second reading.
Senate Bill number 269 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the sale of royalty oil by the State of Alaska to Chevron USA, Inc., and providing for an effective date. The Resources Committee considered this bill and recommends do pass. Signed Senator Farenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senator Ziegler, Mulcahy, Paul Fisher, Eliason, and Sturgiluski. Senator Vic Fisher signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends do pass. Signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Josephson, Bakes, Vic Fisher, and Sackett. When the Rules Committee considered this bill, Senator Ray signed calendar both to Sorrow and Chevron at the same time or not at all.
Bill is before us. Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
The absence of amendments under
eight. Move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 269 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed in final passage.
Objection. So ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Bill number 269, an act relating to the sale of royalty oil by the State of Alaska to Chevron USA Incorporated and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you for discussion, debate. You have the floor.
Mr. President, I don't, I think most of us here on the floor are very familiar with the contracts, both the Tesoro and Chevron. The Chevron contract would furnish the Kenai refinery with 9.6 of the Prudhoe Bay production until, that's 18,000 barrels, until 1995. It meets all the statutory requirements, as does all the contracts that came before the Resources Committee. I urge its passage, and I will answer any questions that I can if you have them still in your mind.
Senator Moss?
If at ease.
We're at ease.
Mr. President, it's my intention to vote against this measure, if for nothing else but a symbolic vote. I don't think that Chevron has given the attention to Southeast Alaska that they should as far as the prices, and we're subsidizing some of the other areas, and it's my intention to vote no.
You have the floor, Senator Alford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Those who have problems with this contract as well as with the other contracts should be looking back at the statute under which they're negotiated. I think the problems come out of that statute, not the negotiations of these contracts, and DNR has followed the statute. I intend to vote for the contracts because they followed the statute, and any problems are our fault, not theirs.
You have the floor, Senator Ferguson.
I plan to vote against this bill because I don't believe that Chevron should have a non-competitive deal in Western Alaska. The additives that they're talking about that they add to the oil so it won't gel during the winter doesn't cost that much.
You have the floor, Senator Ferencamp.
Mr. President, there has been offer for competition within Western Alaska. We'll have to remember that their competition is brought about mostly by having enough consumers to make that possible. We are fortunate to have Chevron there. We're not all pleased with their prices. They admit, as do all oil companies, that they charge what the market will bear. However, if we can get through the Tesoro contracts, you may find that you have some competition on the West Coast.
Questions called for. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 269 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. If all members voted, if any member wish to change their vote, I'll change my vote. Secretary, close roll.
Roll shows 18 yeas, 2 nays.
Bill has been adopted. Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call on the passage of Senate Bill 269 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Next item on the daily calendar is Senate Bill 199. Secretary Reed.
Senate Bill number 199 by Senator Curtula by request, an act relating to mortgage assistance for members of the Alaska delegation to the United States Congress and providing for an effective date. Labor and Commerce Committee considered this bill. Senator Mulcahy, Vice Chairman, and Senator Sackett signed do pass. Senator Rohde signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee considered this bill, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Bakes, and Vic Fisher.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 199 be considered engrossed in its third reading and placed in the final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill in third reading.
Senate Bill number 199, an act relating to mortgage assistance for members of the Alaska delegation to the United States Congress and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion. You have the floor, Senator.
I ask unanimous consent that Senator Rohde be allowed to abstain on this vote.
The question is, yes, shall members of the Supreme Court be allowed to vote? The question is, shall Senate Bill 199 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. If all members voted, the same member wish to change his or her vote. Secretary, close the
roll. Roll shows 18 yeas, 2 nays.
Senate Bill 199 Senate has passed Senate Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Senate Bill 199 be considered a roll call and effective date clause.
Without objection, effective date clause has been adopted. The next item on the daily calendar is Senate Bill 281. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Bill number 281 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to energy development and conservation functions of the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and the Department of Community and Regional Affairs and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new fiscal note and do pass. Signed, Senator Mulcahy, Vice Chairman, concurring Senator Sackett. Senator Rohde signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends that the LNC committee substitute be adopted. Senator Sackett, co-chairman, and Senators Mulcahy and Fisher, Vic Fisher signed do pass. Senator Josephson and Senator Fakes signed no recommendation.
Is there a move to adopt committee substitute?
Mr. Chairman, I
of course, Senator Mulcahy.
Move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute.
No objection.
CS for Senate Bill number 281, LNC, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to energy development and conservation functions of the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and the Department of Community and Regional Affairs and providing for an effective date.
Are there amendments to
the
bill?
There are no amendments.
To unanimous consent, the committee substitute for Senate Bill 281, Labor and Commerce, be considered engrossed in advance of third reading, placed in final passage.
Objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for Senate Bill number 281, LNC, an act relating to energy development and conservation functions of the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and the Department of Community and Regional Affairs and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you for discussion and debate. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 281 pass the Senate? You may proceed. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 15 yeas, 5 nays.
Senate Bill 281 has been adopted. Senator Ray.
Ask unanimous consent to committee substitute for Senate Bill 281, Labor and Commerce, that the roll call on the passage of that bill be considered a roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, effective date clause has been adopted.
Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
No stand at ease.
We'll be at ease.
Substitute for sponsor, substitute for House Bill 105, Finance, be placed at the bottom of the counter.
Without objection. Secretary Reed, House Bill 332. Senator Paul Fisher, you see on the floor?
Yeah.
Without objection.
I'm a, Mr. President, we have four generations of one family. We have with us today the great-grandpop, Roger Vetker, who's 87 years old, from San Diego, California. We have his daughter, Arlene Marshall, from Penn Valley, California. We have his granddaughter, Joyce Sikorsky, from Soldotna, Alaska, who is a professional musician. And she did, last year, orchestrated the album Remember the Prisoners. And Monday morning, she orchestrated the birth of a great-grandchild. I'm getting these things confused. But it's Ariana Teresa, who's 3 days old, and then with the great-grandfather, or the two great-grandchildren, the other ones, Dawning Star and Adam. I think I have it right.
We welcome you here this morning. You may proceed, Secretary of the Senate.
CS for House Bill number 332, financed by the Finance Committee. An act relating to professional licensing and to the regulation of the practice of medicine and extending the termination date of the State Medical Board and providing for an effective date. The Health the Health Education and Social Services Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Josephson, Chairman, concurring Senators Moss, Hallford, Paul Fisher, and Vic Fisher. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends that CSHB 332 pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Fakes, and Vic Fisher.
Are there amendments?
There is a Senate committee substitute.
To the Senate committee substitute, Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, I move and ask adoption of the Senate committee substitute.
Asking
now. I ask unanimous consent.
Objection. It's adopted. Secretary, read the title.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill Number 332 Hess by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act relating to professional licensing and to the regulation of the practice of medicine and extending the termination date of the State Medical Board and providing for an effective date.
There are amendments?
There are no amendments.
In the absence of amendments, Senator Ray?
I ask unanimous consent that Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 332 Hess be considered in gross advance third reading place. Be advanced to third reading and placed in final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill on third reading.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill Number 332 Hess, an act relating to professional licensing and to the regulation of the practice of medicine and extending the termination date of the State Medical Board and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion and debate. Joe Thor, Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, we had a teleconference on the bill in the Senate Hess Committee. There was no opposition. The Division of Occupational Licensing recommended continuation of the board as a matter of public protection. The board had been subject to a legislative audit. The bill addresses the issues raised by that audit and extends the life of the board until 1987.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 332 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Excuse me, Senator Moss has the floor.
I'm going to vote for the bill. I voted out of committee, but I still want to protest the fact that we're continuing to extend boards, et cetera, that we have sunsetted by law before. I just want that on record, sir. Thank you.
Question is, shall House Bill 332 pass the Senate? Committee substitute. You may proceed to vote. Voting machine. Have all members voted? Senator Lyson, have you voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas.
Bill has passed the Senate, 332. Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 332 Hess be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Objection, sir. Effective date clause has been adopted. Next bill, Senator Rohde.
May we reverse the introduction of guests?
Without objection.
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me, we have a visitor, a constituent of mine, a distinguished Anchorage banker, and a well-known economist, Mr. Bob Richards.
Are there further items? House Bill 202, Secretary Reed.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 202, Judiciary, an Act Increasing the Liquor Tax and Providing for an Effective Date. Amendment Number 1 by the Finance Committee was moved and pending.
Secretary, read that amendment.
Amendment Number 1 by Finance, page 1, following line 22, insert the following new section to read. Section 2, AS 436010, is amended by adding a new subsection to read C. A municipality may not levy an excise tax on alcoholic beverages other than a general sales tax.
Are you ready for the question? The motion has been placed on that amendment. What question is, shall the amendment be adopted? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 9 yeas, 11 nays.
Amendment failed. Are there other amendments?
There is an amendment number 2 by Senator Pettyjohn, page 1, line 18, delete 35, insert 30.
Move the amendment.
Ask unanimous consent.
Objections noted. You have the floor,
Mr. Senator. President, just to capsulize the arguments I made last week when this bill was before us, what this bill does is increase the taxes placed upon the citizens of this state. It does it in a regressive manner. We already suffer from the highest cost of living in the United States. This would place Alaska in the highest tax on beer of any state west of the Mississippi.
It is the beverage of choice of the working people of the state, and this amendment is simply offered to minimize the impact on those people. I think the state does have enough money to do its business, and we don't have any justification for increasing the taxes on our people. Thank you.
Question is, shall the Pettyjohn Amendment be adopted? That's Amendment 2. You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 3 ayes, 17 nays.
Amendment failed. Are there further amendments? Senator Ray?
In light of the failure of Amendment number 1, Amendment number 3 is no longer necessary, and I would move and ask unanimous consent to withdraw it.
Without objection, the amendment has been withdrawn. Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
In the absence of further amendments, Senator Ray?
I would move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 2 Judiciary be advanced to third reading, placed in the final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 202, Judiciary, an act increasing the liquor tax and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you for discussion, for debate. It's been in the body for some time.
Question is,
shall House Bill 202 as amended, some committee substitute, shall be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close it.
The roll show.
Senator Moss wishes to change his vote.
I'm sorry, sir. I'd already locked it and started the final vote.
Cancel. We'll cancel the vote and proceed again. Of the instructions. When you're ready, please inform me. Not your fault.
Yes, sir, we're ready.
Question is, shall House Bill 202 shall it pass the Senate as amended? You may proceed to vote. Of all members voting, does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 16 yeas, 4 nays.
It has passed the Senate. Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 202 Judiciary be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Effective date has been adopted. It takes us to the citation calendar. Without objection, I would like to be shown as a sponsor of the Walter Ward citation, a very close friend of mine for many years. Senator Gilman?
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent to also be shown as a sponsor of the Walter Ward citation.
Senator Mulcahy?
President, I'd make a like motion on Father Hugh Hall.
Objection. Secretary, read the citation.
Citations honoring Mary Beck by Representatives Wendy, McBride, and Joff, and Senator Ziegler. Honoring Father Hugh F. Hall by Representatives Joff, Fritz, and Senator Ziegler and Mulcahy. Honoring Skipper Downey by Representatives Herman and Joff, and Senator Mulcahy. Honoring Walt Ward by Representatives Malone, Furness, Fritz, Larson, Joff, and Senators Paul Fisher, Krutula, and Gilman. In memoriam, Paul R. Lucky Boniface III by Representatives Furness, Barnes, Hayes, Phillips, Ward, Zemanski, and Liska, and Senators Kelly, Halford, and Sturgiliski.
Senator Joson.
President, without objection, I would like to be shown as a sponsor of the in memoriam citation for Paul R. Boniface III.
No objection. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I also would like my name added to the Boniface Memorial.
Senator Ray.
There are no other additions. I move the citation calendar be approved as read.
Objection. Citation calendar has been adopted. The bottom of the calendar is House Bill 105 as amended. Secretary may...
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 105, Finance, by the Finance Committee. Enact making appropriations for operating and capital expenses of state government and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Ferguson, Josephson, Bakes, Vic Fisher, and Sackett.
Is there a committee substitute? Senator Sackett?
Move unanimous consent for adoption of the Finance Committee report.
No objection. Secretary, read the bill by title.
Senate CS, 4CS, 4 sponsor substitute for House Bill number 105, Finance, by the Finance Committee. Enact making appropriations for the operating and capital expenses of state government and providing for an effective date.
Are there amendments?
There is an amendment number one by Senator Sackett, beginning page 3, lines 14, 15.
Everybody has the amendment. Jackson's noted. Senator Sackett has.
Mr. President, yesterday when we met with, this is the majority coalition, met with Peter McDowell from OMB, we were concerned about the question I think all of us have had, which is whether or not we are appropriating in excess of the funds available for appropriation. We realized that under the new rules where the House is added and we had to reduce in order to get both the governor's additions in and our own, that we had reached that point. So yesterday we met with Peter McDowell and he indicated that there was approximately $153 million in the undistributed fund which was available for appropriation. And yesterday afternoon we went back both to the Attorney General's office and to Lynn Asper in terms of, excuse me a sec, could you pass these off? And got opinions from both of them indicating just exactly how and what process we should use in order to have these funds available for appropriations for this year's budget. And in the amendment which I proposed this morning after meeting with them yesterday afternoon and again this morning with Peter McDowell, they indicate that the funds are there, that they must be appropriated in the wording that we proposed, that the funds just automatically don't enter into the general fund. And we propose that those funds be used to pay for the cost of the monies that we have appropriated to the school bond indebtedness retirement of $93,750,000, which goes to all the municipalities, which would pay for the 90% participation by the state, and also that the funds go to the $60 million for the scholarship revolving loan fund. And that's the reason for the amendment today, and I would urge its adoption.
You have the floor, Senator.
Obviously, this is a very major issue that, as far as the minority is concerned, is before us for the first time. I think at the beginning of the session, there were a number of times when we brought out the thing that there are two places that we can get, quote, unquote, extra money. One was a rainy day account, the other was the permanent fund and various things, and obviously the undistributed account is the easiest to reach. I don't know that asking questions will necessarily advance what's happening here today, but this is extraordinarily serious in the implications it has on the five-year rolling average to set forth the amount of the permanent fund dividend. What this does by taking away potential funds from that, we're saying to the fund manager, if you want a good income, you look very much short term. I think that this whole section had been very carefully crafted to give some stability to the fund and the income stream from it. And for that to come in the floor in an amendment like this is, I find, extremely disturbing. I think this is a major change that needs a good deal of both public as well as legislative discussion. I understand the problem of wanting to meet various capital and other needs, but we're finding some very short-term solutions to some very serious revenue problems, both this year and certainly more so in the future.
Senator Gilman?
Mr. President, I'm trying to determine in my own mind what the what this amendment really does, and as I see it, the First Amendment is a $93 million appropriation from the, when I say First Amendment, I'm meaning that one on page 3, is $93,750,000, $750,000 appropriation from the permanent fund under undistributed income account, $60 million in the second one, or a total of $153 million. Mr. President, I think also there is a, in the budget, and possibly it's addressed in another amendment, the other amendment is here, but in the budget there's $180 million that is taken from the general fund and placed into the permanent fund distribution account. And I'm assuming that that also is being routed through some way from the either the permanent fund earnings or the permanent fund undistributed income account. So if you add that 150, or that 180, and this 150, that's a 330. Where is the inflation proofing coming from that the law requires us to put 50% of the revenue into the permanent fund for inflation proofing? Now, maybe I am totally mistaken on that, but I personally would like to see some kind of a breakdown before I vote on this amendment of what the total permanent fund income is, what it is subject to as far as this, as this these amendments in this budget.
Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, just one error Senator Gilman made in his statement. The amount of money that we have for the payment of the permanent fund distribution comes from the permanent fund, not from the general fund. And I don't know if he probably meant to say that, but he said general fund. It comes from the permanent fund that goes to the distribution portion. And this comes from the undistributed portion that's been there for a couple of years. It's been added up through a couple of years. They have made their inflation proofing payments into it. This is the excess that's left there after the inflation proofing. And this is the money that, and I'm going purely upon what is told to me by both the Department of Revenue and by OMB and the Attorney General's Office, that these funds are available there and they can be used for appropriation by the legislature. Now, to state that this is a brand new question is erroneous, because as you will recall, the governor made this proposal at the beginning of the session when he proposed the Alaska Investment Fund. He had recommended the appropriation of these funds specifically for that purpose. And at that point in time, we received a lot of input from the administration on their reasoning for it. And I did a lot of research up in Finance Committee on that question. It's not a new issue. It's been around for some time. I think the fact that we're going to appropriate it finally is new in that sense, but the issue has been here. It is a major issue, as Senator Sturgiolowski indicates. But it's erroneous to say it's brand new, because we've been working on it for some time.
Senator Farrington.
Mr. President, there's still a 35% inflation proofing in the permanent fund. That seems to me to be quite sufficient.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, perhaps through the chair to the co-chairman of Finance, is it my understanding that if we were to take no action whatsoever on this, on the use of this money, it would just go into the general fund and could be appropriated in any manner?
Finance Chairperson, do you wish to answer?
I've received the following type of scenario. It's kind of in a limbo area. It's not in the permanent fund. This is what I've been told by OMB, and it has to be appropriated into the general fund, according to an Attorney General's opinion that came out in January. And so, and but permanent fund can't use it either at this point in time. And this was told to be my OMB. But it is available for appropriation in this manner.
Senator Ray.
I was just going on the memorandum from the Legislative Council, which says out of context, but it is relevant. Speaking of this money, the undistributed income account, Mr. Asper says, in fact, if the legislature were to take no action to use the income, it would be paid into the general fund where it would become subject to appropriation. So I just guess that's
an issue. Correct, according to the
floor, Senator Sackett.
So.
Senator Halpern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Sometimes we make predictions we hope will never come true. The statement that it goes into the general fund, there are several other opinions contrary to that. It is a limbo fund, but that fund is absolutely necessary for the leveling of the income of the permanent fund for dividends or other uses. And if you look at the last sentence of the Asper opinion, it says appropriations of amounts in the undistributed income account will interfere with the statutory scheme for the use of permanent fund income in years of decreasing income, and should not be done unless the legislature wishes to establish a new legislative policy for the use of permanent fund income. That legislative policy seems to be spend whatever we can find. That's a prediction that I certainly hope wouldn't come true.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I appreciate that, and I read that there too, but I think that the uses we're putting the money to, particularly in schools and education, I'm not opposed to spending permanent fund income on schools and education. I think that's a good place to spend it, and I support it.
Question is, shall the amendment be adopted? Senator Sturgis-Zelewski, you have the floor.
Yes, just again, the whole permanent fund issue has been evolutionary, both in the management structure of it, the kind of things that we can invest in. It's been very carefully crafted. And one of the things that was involved was, again, a scheme that was difficult to understand, but it had some real merit, and that was the income averaging procedure to, if you will, average out those dips from the high interest years to the low interest years to encourage long-term kind of approach to the fund and stable investment policies. And there's no question that these dollars can be legally appropriated, but it does fly in the face of, again, that plan that is on the books, that is a question of statute that was argued forcefully with different positions as we developed the various legislation dealing with the fund. And I think we're tossing it out for some very short-term projects, all of which are, I'm sure, extremely desirable both to certain constituencies and the people on this floor. But I think this is very short-sighted action.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I take it again, a little different view from my colleague, and I would like to remind those people on the floor how the permanent fund was sold to the legislature. It was sold to the legislature that the income would be used solely for the people, to give back to the people in whatever manner that the legislature deemed it was necessary. You talk about the inflation proofing, and you talk about the five-year plan and all that. That was never discussed. It was never even brought up. The sole purpose of the permanent fund income was to be given directly back to the people in whatever manner that the legislature decided. And if there's anybody on this floor that doesn't want to give the money back in schools or education, vote against it.
Senator Halpern.
Thank you, Mr. President. This isn't giving the money to schools or education. Schools or education should be funded out of the general fund. What this does is release money for other spending. We're looking at a $3.5 billion bill, and we're going into the people's savings account for $120 or $130
million.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think a couple things really need to be straightened out a little bit. This body collectively is charged with the responsibility of appropriating the monies that belong to the people. It's no more appropriate to let it lay in a limbo account year after year than it is for a family to have large sums of money laying in the dresser or laying under the bed or anything else. And this is basically what we're talking to. It's our responsibility to make a decision. Now, if you don't want it, vote against it. But on the other hand, we are charged with that responsibility. I'd call for the question, Mr. President.
Question is, shall the amendment be adopted? You may proceed to vote. All members voted? Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 13 yeas, 7 nays.
Amendment has been adopted. Are there other amendments?
There is an amendment number 2 beginning on page 65, line 14.
Mr. President?
You have the floor, Senator.
I believe this has been passed out. I'd move amendment number 2. Ask unanimous consent.
Objection.
Mr. President, it's my understanding, it came to my attention that when we were working with the House and trying to put together a budget that included all House items, all Governor items, all Senate items for free conference, this portion was omitted, which would be the one half of that of what's necessary in terms of general fund match for federal programs. And this is the I worked with Representative Adams on this, and he indicated that the monies had not been included in the House version, and it's my fault for overlooking it, and I move for adoption of it, asking unanimous consent.
Senator Fakes.
May we have a brief at ease, Mr. President, please?
We'll be at ease.